Picture a Sunday morning in Baghdad. Not the serene sanctuary you might imagine, but one surrounded by blast walls and armed guards, where arriving for worship means navigating checkpoints and praying you won't be the next casualty. This is St. George's Church, where Andrew White serves as what many call the Vicar of Baghdad, leading perhaps the world's most dangerous congregation. His journey from London operating rooms to Iraqi war zones defies every comfortable notion of ministry. Here's someone who traded a promising medical career and the safety of English parishes for a place where wearing a cross can be a death sentence. What compels a person to choose such a path? White's story isn't about heroism or martyrdom. It's about discovering that faith becomes most real when everything else is stripped away. White never planned to become a priest, let alone one working in a war zone. As a medical professional at St. Thomas's Hospital in London, his future seemed mapped out: surgery, anesthetics, a respectable career. Then came that night shift, the one that changes everything. He felt what he describes as an undeniable divine calling, the kind you can't rationalize away or ignore. Despite his resistance, he found himself at Cambridge studying for ordination, even as his body began failing him with myalgic encephalitis, forcing him to complete his studies partly in a wheelchair. Each seemingly random turn prepared White for Iraq. When Jewish and Christian students clashed at Cambridge, White mediated, launching his reconciliation work and connecting him with mentors like Lord Coggan, who gave him a defining motto: "Don't take care, take risks." In Jerusalem, a prophetic word declared his calling was peace in the Middle East, words that seemed impossible then, but proved eerily accurate. Even his multiple sclerosis diagnosis redirected him away from traditional church hierarchy towards something unconventional. Iraq wasn't initially on White's radar. Israel and Palestine were his focus. After countless rejections, Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz extended an unexpected invitation. That first 14-hour journey from Jordan revealed a nation shattered by sanctions: cars with broken windscreens that couldn't be replaced, children dying from preventable diseases. White was naive at first, monitored by Iraqi intelligence and unable to distinguish propaganda from truth. But he built crucial relationships with religious leaders, connections that proved invaluable after the 2003 invasion. Looking back, White sees divine preparation in everything: his darker complexion helping him blend in, his dual training in medicine and ministry, even his Anglican background bridging Western and Eastern Christian traditions. At St. George's, every service begins with, "God is here, and His Holy Spirit is here." In a place where bombs explode and bullets fly, this isn't theological abstraction. It's what keeps people alive. Faith under fire means viewing reality from God's perspective, hearing and obeying, even when logic screams otherwise. White has witnessed more miracles in Baghdad than anywhere else: healings, provision appearing from nowhere, even babies raised from the dead. Living among a Muslim majority, the congregation constantly explains their belief in one God despite the Trinity. The incarnation becomes crucial. God isn't distant, but came to experience human suffering firsthand. In Jesus, they have a God who's been in the line of fire. The cross represents cruel death, yet Christ's resurrection means death can't hold them either. They end every service declaring, "Al-Hab, Al-Hab, Al-Hab." We must love, love, love. White rejects the notion that you can love without liking someone, having seen love transform the seemingly unlovable, including a former Hamas leader who became a peace advocate. Surrounded by hatred-fueled atrocities, love becomes the force that casts out all fear. Last year, 93 members of White's congregation were killed. 11 of 13 adult converts he baptized were dead within a week. This is systematic targeting of people whose only crime is following Jesus. Persecution targets perception, proclamation, and practice. Iraqis claim they can instantly identify Christians, making them vulnerable targets. Christians wear crosses and share their faith openly despite danger. When kidnapped, most refuse Islamic conversion words, considering their faith worth dying for. Those who converted under duress later sought forgiveness and became stricter believers. Iraqi Christians actively participate in their faith. There's no nominal Christianity as in the West. They attend church weekly, observe holy days, and live visibly different from the Muslim majority. When lay pastor Majid was kidnapped, they could only pay the $40,000 ransom and pray for protection. Faith isn't a Sunday activity. It's a daily choice that might cost everything. White acknowledges he wouldn't be good at UK ministry anymore. War doesn't frighten him personally, but he constantly worries about his congregation living in fear for loving Jesus. His greatest personal loss is time with family, monthly visits at best. He needs $175,000 monthly to support the church, clinic, and staff families, making fundraising a constant burden. White's losses pale compared to his gains. He's witnessed God's tangible presence amidst violence and terror. At St. George's Medical Clinic, when doctors can't help patients, they're sent to the church for prayer, and healing nearly always occurs. The Mothers Union witnessed a dead baby restored to life after praying over the infant's cold body in the mortuary. About 3 years ago, they began seeing angelic forms, large, translucent figures with wings, and strange images, like wheels within wheels, similar to Ezekiel's biblical vision, which they photographed. Beyond miracles, they experience unusual abundance of love, joy, and peace amidst tragedy. When White reopened St. George in 2003, he preached on God's promise to grant peace in that place. Though political peace never came, God fulfilled his promise differently, creating extraordinary spiritual peace within their compound. White has multiple sclerosis, diagnosed in 1998. By 2003, his condition deteriorated severely. People constantly wanted to pray for his healing, often making him feel his illness was due to lack of faith, a painful experience that shaped how he now prays with others, never portraying illness as someone's fault. His health continued deteriorating until December 2008, when Dr. Abdelmajid Hamadi proposed treating him with his own stem cells. Though the lumbar puncture caused severe pain, within hours, White felt dramatically better. When circumstances turn dire in Baghdad, White chooses God's presence over despair. The Hebrew concept of Shekinah glory describes God's tangible dwelling presence. An expert on Ezekiel showed White from Scripture that God's glory accompanied Israel to Babylon in exile. His glory truly resides in Iraq, manifesting more powerfully as circumstances worsen. The Holy Spirit provides constant guidance in their dangerous environment. White recognizes God's promptings, especially during difficult meetings. When facing sectarian issues or sitting across from killers, the Spirit always gives him words, often ones he wouldn't logically choose himself. White's strongest spiritual gift is discernment, identifying whether something is of God or evil. In Amman, he immediately sensed evil in a well-educated Syrian visitor. Despite his innocuous appearance, White felt they shouldn't work together. When the visitor cryptically said, "Those who cure you will kill you," White asked him to leave. He later discovered the man was an Al-Qaeda leader in Iraq. Faith transcends belief. It's mountain-moving power born from time in God's presence. Monthly, White needs $175,000 for St. George's operations, feeding 4,000 people, paying rents, running their clinic, and handling medical emergencies. Without reserves, this demands constant faith. God always provides, though frustratingly at the last moment. Though White lives one day at a time in Baghdad, he maintains vision as St. George's leader. Since 2003, he's addressed sectarianism and violence, securing the first joint Sunni-Shia fatwa against violence. Now, corruption infects every level of Iraqi society. After 2003, everyone expected instant wealth without work. White's peacemaking reveals four essentials: relationships, risk-taking, relief, and reconciliation. Without relationships, peacemaking is impossible. In the Middle East, friendship building takes years. As his mentor said, "Don't take care, take risks." When forming Iraq's High Council of Religious Leaders, White included those directly involved in violence, the greatest risk, but peace requires engaging those responsible for conflict. Essential to peacemaking is providing relief to victims. Once these three are established, reconciliation becomes possible, though never guaranteed. Their lay pastor Fayez became the first Iraqi trained and ordained as an Anglican clergyman in his country. Their clinic materialized in 2 months, despite having no funds or building. After car bombs destroyed it, God's grace restored it within 2 months. On October 31, 2010, 9 Al-Qaeda terrorists invaded the nearby Syrian Catholic Church, killing 58 people. Their congregation decreased by 500 as many fled. Despite French offers of asylum, most resolved to stay. The Lord is here and His Spirit is with us. White leads the happiest church he's ever known. He's been shot at, kidnapped, with bounties on his head. But when the fire's heat is intense, so is the joy of the Lord. St. George's stands as testament. Faith becomes most authentic when stripped of everything except God. When Jesus is all you have left, you discover He's all you've ever needed.